It's been said every culture probably has some variation of this quote, that to the victor go the spoils. And the victor also writes the history. And if we're looking at our landscape, American politics, culturally, whatever, the person winning, the organization winning, is Google, because they are writing the history. They are controlling the narrative with Facebook and social media and what have you in unprecedented levels. I mean, the kind of control that would make, you know, Hitler blush. It's fascinating, it's scary, and it's right here in front of our face. One of the most important people we could possibly have on to talk about this is our next guest. Zach Voorhees he's a self-proclaimed whistleblower. He's a YouTube software engineer working for, you know, Google Alphabet at one point, and realized and lived with the weight of what he saw. And his story is provocative, it's radioactive, it's starting to change and starting to gain momentum throughout the world to what people perceive Google as. It is an honor to talk to him. It's fantastic to have him here. Zach, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you. It's very good to be here.
Let's get to know you a little bit. Let's start there. Our audience is never, they don't even know who you are mostly, but tell us, who is Zach Voorhees?
So Zach Voorhees, who is me, is a software engineer. Well, was a software engineer working for Google. I worked at Google for around 8.5 years. First with the Google Earth product, put that on the Audi navigation system, and then on YouTube for 3 years. Now, as you may be aware, YouTube is owned by Google, and I was working at Google and everything was great until 2016 happened, when Donald Trump won the election. And what happened was the company decided that they were going to do a complete 180-degree turn and start sacrificing their mission statement, which was to organize the world's information and make it universally accessible and useful.
And okay, and you as an engineer, let me interject right here. I think that's a very important point. Everything was going along fine. Google was doing so much good. You felt like, hey, I'm a productive part of society, and really this whole project, it's fantastic. You probably felt very good about where you were.
I was. I was very much ideologically aligned with the company prior to 2016.
Okay, and then after the election, there was a change. Did you feel the pressure? Obviously, you're saying this, that's when it happened. What does that look like? Does somebody come to you and say, hey, our mission statement is changing, or it's subtle, or directives are subtle? What happens at that point?
Yeah, so, you know, imagine that YouTube is a large ship. You know, the captain starts telling the crew what they're going to do before they go and do it.
Right.
With YouTube, the executive team told the company that we were going to be shifting directions. And at first, I didn't really take it seriously because they were talking about, you know, the need to protect customers from fake news. And I thought that, well, you know, a lot of the fake news that they're trying to protect us from are actually real stories. And once this whole Russian collusion hoax gets exposed for the fraud that it is, then a lot of these executives will start to see that the establishment media isn't credible. But instead, what happened was no matter what information was coming out from radio and the YouTube influencer networks, YouTube sort of doubled down on the narrative that Russia had won the U.S. election and installed Donald Trump. And that a big portion of the reason that Donald Trump had won was because of racism, sexism, and misogyny. And I expected that that would blow over. I expected that they would, you know, sort of wake up from that sort of, you know, and have this be like a momentary blip. But it never did. It just kept on morphing. And they kept on telling the employees that we need to take care of fake news. We need to take care of fake news. We need to take care of fake news. And so I was curious. I wanted to know what exactly Google thought was fake news.
Yeah, good
and
question.
And so, yeah, like what is it? Like if you're going to define it, then there needs to be an arbiter of truth to, you know, the definition of fake news versus non-fake news. So I started digging into the publicly available docs to all internal, publicly available docs to all full-time employees, trying to search for this definition, and I found it in a couple of slide decks talking about fake news. And what really startled me was the fact that there were some really high-level things involving Hillary Clinton that were true, and they were labeling it as fake news. For example,
right, let me pause you right there on the story. You said you found it in slide decks. I mean, I'm not a software engineer at all, and probably most of our audience isn't either. So you say you started to try to find a definition. Explain that a little. What does that mean?
So what's a slide deck is an important thing. A slide deck is just a PowerPoint presentation. But we don't like to use the name PowerPoint because that's product specific. It's a trademark. So we just say slide deck as a generic term for a PowerPoint presentation.
Okay. And this was put out by YouTube, by the company. You found this is what fake news is, and they're giving you examples, and here's an example of Hillary Clinton. This is what we want you to target and to get rid of. Is that the general gist or?
Yeah, that's the general gist of it, right? So, for example, what they listed as an example of fake news was the fact that Hillary was running weapons through Benghazi in order to fund ISIS terrorists. Okay? They said that was fake news. And I said, well, wait a minute. That actually happened. And I was like, well, this is really interesting. Like, what exactly, you know, if they're going to label things, if they're going to label truth as fiction, as fake news, then we've got a real problem on our hands, don't we?
Yeah.
So
we're probably going to go back and forth like this because there's so many interesting parts to this. Before this time, before 2016, I wrote a book in, 2013, called Forever 1776. And I did a lot of research on different things that happened in America from Google. You know, you'd Google certain things. And literally, it was easy to find. The information flew. It was, you could find whatever, whether it was false or rumors or whatever. I was left to then make those decisions for myself. A couple of years ago, kind of about the time you're saying, man, it switched off like a light, and it was hard to find the same information. It was hard to find the same stories. Are you saying that Google went from basically being a port of information, a gateway of just all information that was just out there, to a arbiter of and the controller of the information of what they thought was true, and what they thought was true was not necessarily true at all? Is that, I mean, I'm kind of summarizing here.
Yes. So they started becoming the arbiter. And I remember that there was a large meeting of the employees and the CEO at an event called Stream, the Stream event. And Susan Wojcicki, the CEO, you know, told the whole employee groups that YouTube was now going to start suppressing fake news and start boosting authoritative content.
Ooh.
Right? And so I went, authoritative content. I think what she means is CNN, the New York Times, MSNBC, you know, and to a lesser extent, Fox. Though back at 2017, I didn't think she meant Fox because they were more fringe than they are now. They seem to be more establishment. And
that's
so,
what happens with Disney. That's what happens when Disney buys you, Zach, by the way. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, right? So sad. So Susan was saying that YouTube is intending to boost authoritative content. And I'm thinking to myself, well, wait a minute. This content that the authoritative sources are pushing out is fake. It's the fake news. So what she's trying to say the opposite of what she's trying to say. She's trying to say that she's going to push up fake news and push down the truth. You know?
And so, when you're at this meeting, what are you thinking? What are the people around you? How many people are at this meeting, and what are they thinking around you?
Thousands, just thousands of people. It's like a big event. It happens in L.A. People from, you know, influencers are invited. Industry partners are invited. It's kind of a party, and everyone sort of sees what everyone else is working on with presentations and stuff like that. And it's a huge like get together. And then at night, you know, everyone gets drunk and like, you know, talks to each other and like, you know, eats a lot of food. Like it's one of those things. It's an industry party.
When you say influencers, you mean YouTube personalities that don't necessarily work for YouTube, but they're like, I mean, I don't know who, but it's just somebody there. And are they kind of, YouTube is kind of telling them, kind of this is the directive that we want to go. This is, are they trying to tell these influencers this is what we want you to be also?
No, it's not a party for the influencers. It's a party for the employees so that they can network better with each other.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is it kind of like the movie Circle? You seen that movie? I think it's Circle with Tom Hanks in it. Is it kind of like that?
I don't know the movie, so I can't comment.
Well, it looks like it's a takeoff of on Google, so I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, audience maybe have seen it. Check that out. Maybe it sounds like it's something similar to that. I don't know. Okay, continue on. This is all. Now, one thing I did ask you before, and I want the audience to know this. Before you came on, I asked you, what do you want to accomplish from this? And what did you tell me, Zach, from this interview?
I told you that I want to foster a cultural movement across the United States that would affect politics. And boy, has it been affecting politics. Just the other day, it was announced on the Washington Post that more than half of the state attorney generals for each of the states were getting together in a class action antitrust lawsuit against Google. So this is absolutely huge that this is now happening. And it happened within, it's been a month since I started this, maybe even less than a month, like maybe 3 weeks since I started this campaign.
All right, let's go back to, the reason I brought that up now, I want the audience to understand how important this information is and how powerful it is and how powerful the truth is. And then at the same time, flip it around, what does that say about Google and what they're doing, how they're controlling quote-unquote truth? So you see how powerful truth is, and if Google can control truth, how powerful is Google now? And how much
right,
power
let me just
are they
give
wielding?
You, let me just give you an example of the power that they wield, okay? The breaking point for me came in 2017 when I caught Google deleting words out of their translation dictionary in order to make a president's tweet sound crazy, okay? What happened was, rewind back to 2017, President Trump comes back from Saudi Arabia. I believe it was on May 31st, he wrote out the tweet, despite the negative constant press, kefefe. Okay, and then he tweeted out later, hey, can anyone figure out what kefefe means? Good luck. Well, a lot of people found that Google Translate was translating it into from Arabic into English, and the English translation was, we will stand up. And if you put that with the tweet, it actually makes a lot of sense, like despite the negative constant press, we will stand up. And there's also like a biblical antediluvian term, usage of the word, which means something to the effect of we will stand up to those that are fallen. But regardless, there's this Arabic translation, and the New York Times writes this hit piece. And in this hit piece, they say, actually, the word doesn't mean anything. And everyone that thinks that it does are, you know, they're just grasping for straws, essentially. Well, Google uses this to justify in a design document to remove the word kefefe from the translation dictionary. And the team that implemented this was called the Derrida team. Now, why is this significant? Because Jacques Derrida was the philosopher from France that advocated for the destruction of Western civilization through the manipulation of language. So how ironic that the team that is involved with censorship named themselves after this philosopher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that happened.
That's what
I knew. Hold on. When that happened, I realized that this wasn't just, you know, political censorship. This was actually seditious and now a national security threat. And that's when I decided that I was going to take these documents and release them to the public by any means possible at any cost.
And so from 2016 to, you know, just recently, this has been 2 or 3 months that you've come out. Project Veritas, I think, was the first to really publicize your story. I mean, what is going on inside you as you're working at Google, kind of like in the belly of the beast, and your eye, obviously your eyes are open to this and seeing this. Are people next to you seeing the same thing? Are you afraid to even mention these? Do you go to your buddy and say, hey, did you see this? Or are, is the environment so closed that you're afraid to do that, or what?
I mean, the people in the company were so heavily in denial of what Google was doing that most of them, the few people that I did sort of come out about this too, about my concerns, they totally dismissed it and they thought that I was being kind of a crazy conspiracy theorist. And, but there are a minority of people that, you know, do see what's happening and they don't like it. That certainly happens all the time. But I would say most of the people are either like not convinced or just straight up asleep.
Well, now, to be fair, let's be honest here. You know, you were making good money working there, and a lot of other people were making good money. It's really hard, and I have such admiration for you. It's hard to turn down a, you know, $200,000, $300,000 job and to look into these things. It's better just, oh, just forget it. Zach, just shut up and go back to work and, you know, get your paycheck.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when... So I was making $260,000 a year, and
wow,
obviously I gave that up to do this. Cause I was a senior software engineer, right? Been doing this for a while. But for other people, they don't want to give up their nice career. You know, they've got a wife, maybe they got a family that they're providing for. If they lose their job, you know, then, and get blacklisted, that's a big deal. They don't want to have that happen. And so there's incentive for them to just sort of, you know, keep quiet about it. And if there is something that they don't like, they're going to actually actively block it in their mind just because, you know, to accept the totality of the situation would mean to put them, you know, in a bad, you know, people don't want to think of themselves as bad people or being part of an evil system, right? Like if you go back to Nazi Germany,
right,
it's very doubtful that those people thought that they were the bad guy.
Right.
Right?
I'm not evil. I'm not part of a evil. What is it about you, one, that made you be able to recognize this? It takes a certain person. And then two, have the courage to do something. I mean, what is it about you?
I've read a lot of 1984. I think I've read it like twice. I read Animal Farm like 3 times. I've read Fahrenheit 451 twice. I really like these dystopian sci-fi novels because it's like, wow, it's so interesting. Like Brave New World, like, but that'll never happen. That'll never happen. But yeah. Well, it started happening once I saw it. I was like, oh man, these books were actually giving us insight on how the totalitarians would try to slip in control. And it would be primarily through the manipulation of language. And that's exactly what I saw. You know, I saw the whole part of Google reconfigure so that it would start censoring and suppressing all sorts of things. And once I knew that they were doing that, then I really started looking. And once I really started looking, then, you know, I started realizing that there was a lot that I had previously thought was true, but actually turned out to be false. And a lot of things I thought were false were actually true.
You're talking about going to the edge of a cliff, basically metaphorically, and you're looking over the cliff and like, whoa, I need to step out on faith here because, you know, 1984, Winston, how they changed the language, 2 + 2 = 5, or, you know, any of the words. And they say that Eric Blair, who wrote it, George Orwell, Eric Blair, was in military intelligence. I don't know if you knew that. Eric Blair was military intelligence. And so, you get the sense that this wasn't fiction. He is a warning. He knew kind of what was coming or what was planned. Did you start to see that? Did you start to say, wait a minute, this is a concerted plan not only is Google involved with it, obviously you mentioned the New York Times, you mentioned corporate media. Did you start to get the sense that, whoa, this is a corporate, fascist, something, I don't know what, takeover looking a lot like 1984? Is that what went through your mind?
That's exactly what went through my mind. I was like, these people are manipulating the language because they're trying to push in some sort of, you know, totalitarian regime. Call it New World Order, whatever you want to call it. But they seem to be going fast as they could. And it didn't matter whatever principles they had told the public before, they were going to violate all of them just so that they could control the information and sculpt the information landscape.
Now, we got about a minute and a half before the break. Have you ever heard of Chinese social credit score? I have to imagine that you have.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
And do these kind of things, we've heard rumors, maybe you have firsthand knowledge, Google's involved with helping China implement that. The Dragonfly program, or there's another name for it, I can't remember. But
the Dragonfly program is fake. I just want to put that out there.
Right.
It was never a real deal.
Wasn't there another name that I can't, maybe you know better than me. Well, do you know if Google's
involved? Machine Learning Fairness. Machine Learning Fairness was always the program that was being rolled out. Dragonfly was used as a decoy so that people would chase after a phantom.
Wow.
So,
that's
an important thing I wanted to put out there.
They might as well call it unicorns.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Machine Learning Fairness. So, from when you started to discover this, okay, we're about to be on break, so we'll just stop there. I am fascinated by you because you're in the middle. I mean, this is almost like some kind of Tom Clancy novel or something. You're sitting there at your desk. You're this one person. You're Zach Voorhees, you know, software engineer, senior software engineer, but still, you're sitting there at the realization like, oh my God, Google is part of this worldwide conspiracy to control, manipulate mankind and to control everything. I mean, it's got to be crazy. This is crazy.
It's crazy. And the program was called Machine Learning Fairness. When we come back from break, we had to tell your audience all about it.
Oh, awesome. About a 3-minute break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you dare go anywhere. You're listening to the Power Hour. Zach Voorhees on the line. Stay tuned. We're getting back to Zach Voorhees, who is rapidly, as you can see, becoming somebody I admire. He's a hero in so many ways. I mean, this is, years from now, we may look back to this time. We may look back to Zach Voorhees and say, wow, do you remember when Zach Voorhees said this? Wow, when this hole broke loose because Zach Voorhees sat behind his computer and he was so moved that he had to do something, and he did. Conviction is king, ladies and gentlemen. And so let's get back to Zach. Zach, we mentioned Chinese social credit score, and you mentioned a word, machine learning fairness. I mean, it sounds all nice and benign and such a positive thing. What is machine learning fairness?
Machine learning fairness is an algorithm or a collection of algorithms that Google has developed and is now rolled out to every one of its major search products, including Google Search, YouTube Search, and Google News, that re-rank items and results based upon how fair they are to being displayed to the user.
Okay. Now, that can mean a lot of things. I mean, that seems pretty arbitrary. What does that mean, fair?
Right. So one of the key things that I studied was what exactly do they mean by algorithmic fairness and algorithmic unfair? And this is what Google had to say. For example, if someone is searching for CEOs and the results return more men than women, even if that result reflects objective reality, it can still be considered algorithmically unfair and justify fixing via product intervention.
Go ahead. No. Well, the question I so come up with. Yeah, you go ahead. You explain it, then I'll ask.
Okay. So what this means is that the results and the data that are on the internet are inherently unfair, even if they're 100% factually accurate. They can still be unfair, which means that they need to go and they need to, like, mess with things. They need to change, you know, the order of items as they appear. And One of the best ways that people can see this in action is if they simply go to google.com and they start typing in men can space, what they're going to see is they're going to see search predictions. And one of the, and the top three search predictions for this query, men can, will be men can have periods, men can have babies, men can have babies now. And if you try the same thing for women, what they're going to find is women can vote, women can do it, women can do anything, women can be drafted. And so what we're seeing right now is the infection, the late-stage social justice warrior mentality infecting the search results.
All right, the question I have, I'm, you know, the more I'm learning about science and about our world, you know, quantum scientists are telling it, your thought, your ideas, the world is holographic images of what we believe, our concepts of self, all these things are much more powerful than somebody else's concept or somebody else's. So what you're saying is, what I'm getting out of it is that Google is hacking into that self projection, that self-awareness, and manipulating it so that then we, the world that we see is now not based on fact, but is now based on an algorithm or based on a vision that they have. Maybe that's a good way to say it.
Right. Their vision of what exactly is fair.
And social justice is the way they would define that, probably. I mean, give or take, but social justice and what that means, and that so... it means degrading men in part of mankind, degrading men, uplifting women so that men are inferior, women are uplifted, not talking about facts, talking about, is there another example? I mean, this is very powerful, very important, I believe. Is there another example like this that you
have?
Yeah,
so for example, you know, if you try to type in Clinton body count, it will never autocomplete. It will never autocomplete with a prediction that says, do you mean, you know, Clinton body count ever.
Do you get the feeling? Do you get the feeling that Google's working with these political organizations? I mean, obviously they're biased towards Clinton. They're protecting her or whatever. They want her to win. I don't.
Oh, we know that they are because the letter got leaked by Eric Schmidt, the former, you know, CEO or chairman of Google, saying, you know, talking with Clinton about getting ready to like help her in the election. You know, it's obvious. It's beyond conspiracy theory. It's a conspiracy fact at this point.
We've heard about Russia for God knows how long. Then the Mueller report comes out, and it was like crickets. You know, it really wasn't anything. They just a lot of waste of time. But like you said, it didn't go back to the way it was. It went back to the way they were doing, and even on this seems like it's gaining momentum. Is what I'm saying.
Google's
control. I'm sorry. Google's control, Google's manipulation, the way the information on the internet is presented to people who search there.
Right. It's getting more and more extreme. And as they go more and more extreme in their political bias, the search results get worse and worse and worse. And this is the thing is that I don't even like using Google anymore just because it's so hard to find the information that I'm looking for.
Who would you use instead besides Google?
I use StartPage or DuckDuckGo or even Microsoft Bing and Yahoo Search. Like, those products are now really mature. And, you know, I used to like Google more because it was a better search engine. But now since Google has sabotaged their own search engine for their political ideology, now they're not even the best search engine anymore. Like, they're not my go-to. Like, obviously, they've got a lot of good stuff in there that I'll still use, but it's not my search engine of choice anymore.
Okay, let's get back to Chinese social credit score. You're seeing in real time, it's not complete through China, but major cities now, in real time, people are being watched through cameras, in the AI, through the... Somewhere Google connects this. I don't know. Where does Google fit in all this? Where basically, if you don't act a certain way, if you don't fit into this fairness, if you don't fit into these parameters, the government, they won't even let you get on a train. So what's your thoughts there?
Right. Well, This is something that they wanted to sneak into the American public. And what happens is if you talk
now,
about...
Now, hold on. Stop there. Stop right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you just said is the most damning and most important and powerful thing of the 40 minutes we've been talking. Are you saying this from your opinion, or are you saying this from what you saw, from what people pushed on you, from what the executives were telling you? Why do you have that opinion?
I mean, you look at Patreon, you look at PayPal, you look at Stripe, you look at these payment processing places, even MasterCard. What they're doing is that they're systematically deplatforming people that are coming forward and saying a narrative that counters the deep state. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, like if someone says, hey, I need to like raise money to like, you know, make this documentary. And if the deep state doesn't like the documentary, then they retroactively cancel the money and prevent the person doing the fundraising from getting it.
And is Google, where is Google involved in that? Is it because a subsidiary that
The thing is that that's what the money system outside of Google. With Google themselves, they do it by demonetizing a channel that says things that they don't appreciate or like. I know that, you know, there's been interviews
with
me on
YouTube.
Channel.
They erased our YouTube channel.
They killed your channel.
So you know. Yeah.
They erased your YouTube channel. Wow. See, that's a perfect example. They're trying to cut you off at the knees. You know, InfoWars is the most theatrical example of this. And Susan was like, hey, we allow people to upload anything they want. And then InfoWars with Owen Schroyer was like, oh yeah, if that's real, then hey, we're back online. We're uploading new videos. And he uploaded a video, and within 17 hours, Google had deleted the entire channel. Right? And so the thing is that, you know, there's people that are banned from posting on Twitter, you know, that are banned from posting on Facebook. And as a result of that, like they're unpersoned on the internet. They can't interact. They can't communicate. You know, some people can't make transactions. Like, this is the social credit score. Just,
wow.
It doesn't go by that name.
Wow. It just, you can still buy a train ticket or a plane ticket. We're just not that far yet.
Right. Because the thing is that, they want to sneak it in. Where in China, they don't have to sneak it in. It's an authoritarian regime. They just tell the people what they're going to do, and then they do it. But with the United States, they have to play all these games, and they have to sneak it in the back door.
Oh, my God. Do you understand how powerful what you're saying is? Do you understand that
I honestly thought that it was obvious to everyone, you know, what's going on with all these payment processors and impersonating on all these different platforms. Like, this is the social credit system being implemented.
All right, who is controlling? Obviously, whoever makes that algorithm has so much power. The social credit. How do you see this coming in America? What am I trying to ask? I don't even know what to ask you here. Who is going to make these decisions? Is Google making the decisions, or somebody above Google pushing Google to make these decisions?
Well, I mean, Google's writing the policy, and then the policy gets implemented, and then there's a team that you know sits around and figures out who to apply this policy to and who, you know, and who gets to, you know, get kicked off of YouTube and who gets to stay. So there's a group of people making decisions. The question that I have and everyone should ask is, who's making the policy?
Who's
making policy?
Who is?
I don't know. All I know is that the same policy that's being rolled out to YouTube and Google seems to be the similar policy that's being rolled out, you know, to places like, you know, MasterCard, PayPal, the New York Times, like name it, like all these different, you know, establishment organizations are all colluding and working together in lockstep. So who's ever making the decisions here, you know, they're making the decisions for all these different establishment organizations that shouldn't be connected, yet it's obvious by their actions that they are connected.
You know, what you just said... again, it's so self-evident once you research this and get into this, but the average American doesn't, you know, they just want to search Google and find out the nearest hardware store to their house and so they can go buy a washing machine or something, you know? They don't, but what you're saying is so self-evident once you look into it, but it's so simple and your voice is so crystalline on this matter. I hope the audience appreciates what you've just said in the last 10 minutes. And
yeah,
I mean, I can't even add anything to it. That the social, whatever you see in China, just go look at China. This is not speculation. This is not conspiracy theory. We don't have to speculate about this. It's happening right now. Whatever you see there, that is what is being rolled out here. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah. They're trying to sneak it in. And they're trying to sneak it in as fast as they can. Like, this stuff didn't exist 3 years ago. This is all new since Donald Trump got elected.
Wow. Where is this going? Are people going to resist this? I mean, it sounds like it's a complete corporate takeover and merging of government and overseeing of our constitutional protections. Erasing of our constitutional protections.
Right. Well, the thing is that there's a new sheriff in town, and what's obvious is that they actually had this control before, but they weren't putting the screws in. But now that someone that they don't approve of, you know, became president by the sacred, you know, vote of the people, well, now all of a sudden they can't have that. And so now all of a sudden they realize that they need to start, you know, playing information warrior, and they need to start doing this multi-touch approach to silencing people that they don't agree with, especially conservatives, because conservatives are the ones that fight for the culture and the preservation of the fire. And so those are enemy number one of these globalist corporations. They're trying to silence conservatives. You know, they don't want them to have money. They don't want them to have a voice. They want them to be shamed wherever they go. It's absolutely ridiculous, and it's everywhere that you look. And the thing is that they just did it one way. You know, people could point and be like, oh, that's, you know, look, this is how they're doing it. But instead what they do is that they do it through as many points as possible so that not any one point is responsible for the discrimination, but all the different points that they're using are responsible collectively for the discrimination.
Now, there's an argument that, Google's violating my ability to express my First Amendment protections, and then the response will be like, well, they're a corporation. They're not they're not there to guarantee you. My idea was, well, where do you think Google got this algorithm from? DARPA invested in it. The Defense Department, the American taxpayer invested in these things. They're a public platform. If you're a public platform, you can't be, if you're going to get the protection of being a public platform, you just can't arbitrarily start doing this. Your thoughts on that?
Right. So my research indicates that machine learning fairness was a concept that was spawned out of Stanford, and then it moved into Google. And then it got accelerated and put on the fast track after Donald Trump won the election. But seeing the history of machine learning fairness, I am now 100% convinced that it was always the plan to put in machine learning fairness. It's just that the timetables have now been accelerated because these global powers are now rapidly losing control as nationalism sweeps country, you know, and country and country and country.
And that's got to be good news. That's a positive thing here.
Right, it is. I see all of this, you know, accelerated timetable as a sign that these global powers are losing because they're doing it in the face of a cultural war. Like right now, we're in a full-blown, you know, cultural civil war that's going on. There's not guns. There's not people necessarily dying, you know, by the hundreds, you know, in the streets, you know, or giant battles taking place out on fields. But it's happening right now over Twitter and over Facebook. And it seems that, in my opinion, the Patriots might have already won. But the thing is that the fight isn't over, you know. And so one of the reasons why I decided to come forward and deliver, you know, 950 pages to the American public is because I wanted the nationalists to have a leg up, because this country is founded by lawyers, and those lawyers need to do discovery. Google is a technical company that doesn't like discovery by any means possible. So I've done the discovery for them, and I've given them the seed that they need to do in order for them to find out where all the bodies are buried. And I mean that in a figurative sense, not a literal one. And go ahead.
Two quick questions. Because Google obviously is big on algorithms. They obviously, I would imagine, have to be pretty big on predictive algorithms. They have to know where this is going, and they have to feel threatened. Their desperation, to me, or the quick speed which they're moving shows desperation and shows an understanding that, hey, if we don't put the genie back in the bottle real quick, we're in trouble here.
Yeah. That's exactly what's going on. Yeah. They're trying to put the genie back in the bottle, but they can't. The genie's already out and it's not going back in.
Amen. Let me ask you about schools. We're seeing schools where somebody put on their Facebook page a picture of them going with their mother to the shooting range, and then the school suspends them. So we're seeing, it's not only corporations now, MasterCard, Visa, we're seeing the schools, it's like they're connected at that level too, the whole fairness or what's right or what's, you know, this vision of how America should be.
Right. Yeah. And right now there's a call out culture and a snitch culture. Dave Chappelle just joked about this in his recent stand-up on Netflix, which is getting rave reviews, by the way, by the audience, but the deep state hates it. I think the audience is like 99%, and all the critics, it was at 0% with 5 reviews, but now I hear it's 17%.
We only have about 3 minutes. I want to go quickly.
Sorry.
We only have 3 minutes.
Don't
apologize. Don't apologize, Zach. Are you a religious man, a man of faith? Obviously you got something inside you that's pushing you here.
Yeah, I believe that there's a prime creator in the universe.
Okay. We're going to declare peace on you, and we're going to declare protection on you, and that the truth of what you're saying and the insight and the inspiration that you have, that it'll go forward and that no one will stop it, and that angels will be around you and to protect you in what you're doing, because whether you realize it or not, you're one of the most important people in America right now. You are a patriot. You are Patrick Henry right now for this country right now. We do have a caller, I think William in Vermont. William in Vermont, you're live. Quickly with your question, real quick.
All right. Thanks, Zach, Daniel. Hey, Zach, I heard a young man on the radio a few weeks ago say he was autistic on a certain spectrum and that he was one of hundreds that were acting as the AI for these tech companies out there in California. Can you speak to that?
I mean, I think there's a lot of people on the spectrum that gravitate towards programming. It just seems something that just happens. So, yeah, that sounds plausible.
Okay, William, thank you for your question. Anyway, go ahead. Quick, William, quick.
Well, his suggestion was that they were actually being programmed themselves to carry out the AI that's what we're told is AI to censor people.
There's some truth to that. So Google had this program called the Implicit Association Test that was mandatory for employees for a while. It got exposed as junk science, but what this test did is it showed you how racist you were. All employees had to take it. Okay?
That's
They're prepping
right.
us for this.
We got about a minute and a half left. The audience is here. Their jaws are probably on the ground. Probably part of they're puzzled and not really sure how to take this. It's so anti-American. It's so basically you're saying a corporate large structure organized at the very top throughout America is coming against the freedom of people and is pushing and manipulating our language so that our future is predicted and controlled by them. That's basically what you're telling us. You got about a minute or so. What's the last thing you want to leave us with?
So Google's decided that they want to censor us. So you know what I say we do? I say we all censor Google and we go to other products. Do the Google detox.
Very start page. What'd you say? Start page, Bing, DuckDuckGo, right?
Start page, DuckDuckGo. Switch from Gmail to Proton Mail, which features end-to-end encryption so that your messages are
Proton
safe.
Proton Mail. I need to do that. I need to do that with my email.
And if people want to follow me, they should go follow me on Twitter at Perpetual Maniac because I'm fighting dragons and they can help.
Oh, fantastic. Zach, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for what you've done, and I've really enjoyed this. It's really a pleasure meeting you. I hope you come on again in the next couple months.
Thank you very much. I'm so honored.
All right. God bless. We'll see you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great evening.